Moto America fans, it's time for another episode of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. You'll laugh, you'll cry, and you may even learn something from this unlikely pair and their special guest. The mic is yours, Paul and Sean.
Hello, Moto America fans. We are at Daytona International Speedway for this special edition of Off Track with Carruthers and Bice. I am Bice, and our communications manager, Paul Carruthers, is on the other side there. In the middle, we have Niccolo Canepa, an Italian by way of Switzerland. And people got mad at me because I said he was from Switzerland. Now, I know he's Italian, but we thought it was cool. We had a Swiss rider, so I mentioned he's from there. So thanks for joining us, Nick, and thanks for your whole YART team being here. He's going to race in the Daytona 200 for the first time with two riders as his team, his World Endurance team, although they're not going to race together as a team. They could, but when it comes to the checkered flag, it's all one man for himself. So, Nick, thanks for being with us.
Hello, everyone. Thanks to you for inviting me. For me, it's such an honor and a pleasure to be here in Daytona. And it's always been a dream for me to come in this race, even before when they were racing with the 1,000cc bikes. And I never got the opportunity. And now, finally, YART gave me this opportunity. And I'm really excited to be here.
It's your first time?
Yeah, very first time.
And, no, you haven't visited or anything?
No, first time. And yesterday, last night when I arrived, when I was driving and I saw the outside, I say, wow, this is...
What about this morning when you come under the tunnel? Is it...
This morning, actually, we crossed the track with the car. So I just saw the banking for up close and it was, it was amazing. It's unique in the world. It's something special. I heard a lot of stories about it, obviously, speaking with many other riders that raced here. But to be here is something special. And you have to come here to see it.
So, question for you. I maintain that the Daytona 200 is, in fact, an endurance race. It's one rider, but it's 200 miles, it's 57 laps, there's one or two pit stops in the thing. You're not racing with a team of riders, but from what you understand about it and from your knowledge, deep knowledge about endurance racing, do you think this is an endurance race or a sprint?
Yeah, I believe it's a combination of the two. I can't say it's a full endurance race because, of course, a big part of endurance is to share the emotions and the bike and the victory and the pain with your teammates. And this is part of the endurance spirit, I think. This here you're alone, so it's still more similar to a sprint race for that kind of reason. But it's also an endurance race because you do pit stops, so the team is involved in the race until the end, because the team is a very important role in the pit stop, of course. And it's a long race, it's not like a 20 laps race. So it's a combination of the two, I would say. And this is what it makes so special and so unique.
Most people that come for the first time come with an inexperienced crew because the rider hasn't done the race and the crew hasn't done the race. You don't have that problem to think about.
Yeah, the rules are a bit different in NWC, but for sure our crew is very experienced in pit stops, and I believe we are quite ready for that. And this is a good help for sure, because when the riders come here, maybe doesn't have the full endurance experience. This is what we have, and this for sure can help. Yeah.
So it's endurance racing is pretty special. And, you know, I talk to Josh Hayes about this from time to time. He loves endurance racing. Obviously, you get more seat time, that whole thing. How did you end up getting more focused on endurance racing? Is it because you love it or because you had a talent for it? How did it become kind of your career over time?
Well, it's a series of coincidences, let's say, because Yamaha was already a couple of years that I was racing in World Superbike. Yamaha, for a couple of years, contacted me to join the YART team in endurance. And I refused it because I had a good seat in Superbike and I still was quite young, and I thought I had this opportunity to stay there. Then, after the bad experience with the EBR, maybe you remember?
Yes.
That the team closed in the middle of the season and everything. I said, okay, I have enough of this. I had a few bad experiences in the last few years with teams. So I said, okay, let's go to endurance because I will have a factory contract. I will work with finally a factory team. And this is a game changer, no? And sometimes with private teams is more difficult. When you work directly with a brand, when a manufacturer is different. And it was a great opportunity for me. And I said, okay, let's go. And I joined at the time, it was GMT 94, and we won many races. We won the title in my second year, second the first year, second the third year, so it was really, really great. And then I joined the YART, and last year we won the championship again.
Yeah, I mean, two time for you. So just so you guys know, YART stands for Yamaha Austria Racing Team. So it's Austrian based. You're Italian. You've got a rider who's Czechoslovakia, Czech. It's kind of a United Nations over there, isn't it, a little bit for you guys? How did they put that whole thing together with all the different countries?
Yeah, that's great, because our crew chief was Australian, was Andrew Pitt. My other teammate is German. And so it's German, really, yeah, German, Czech, and Italian living in Switzerland, Austrian team. Australian crew chief, Italian engineer, electronic engineer. So we have a little bit of everything, but... at the beginning, when was more an sort of Austrian team, and was a bit difficult for me because I don't speak any German, so I was sometimes it was really hard for me to understand what was going on inside the garage. But then became more international, and now the team is working great. We speak English on the team. We understand each other 90%, and the things are working well.
I've always been curious with like the long endurance races or any endurance race, and you have three riders. Is the bike set up a compromise, or does it just go to the fastest guy gets to set it up the way he wants and the other two have to live with it?
No, actually it's a compromise, but the mentality is actually the opposite, because if you have a rider that is lower than the others, this is the one guy that you want to help. This is the one guy that you want to do the setup for him.
That makes sense, yeah.
Because, you know, it's in a 24 hours race, if you lose 1/10 a lap, means one lap at the end of the race. Everything is big. So if you have a rider that go half a second slower, you need to find a way to help him to better that I go 1/10 slower and you go 3/10 faster at the end, you know?
So the team is only as fast as the slowest guy, really.
Yeah. But to be honest, I'm really, really happy when I find these teammates, because both Marvin and Karel are very, very fast, and we are similar physical characteristics, so similar weight. We are all in 1.5 kilos, so we are,
wow.
So this helps a lot. And when I like something, they also like something on the bike. When Kyle likes something, I like also. So at the end, we have all the time the same request on the bike and the same setting, and this helps a lot. And most importantly, we are all the time in the same lap times, so is really actually really great. Is I think quite unique in endurance. We are also the long lasting team together, because actually competing in endurance, because now are 4 years that we are together, all three. The lineup is the same, and we know each other deeply, and so it's helping a lot for sure.
So it'll actually be different racing with them, because you're never on the track at the same time, right?
Yeah, only in the test. It's funny, because when we test, we have always two bikes, and we ride all the time together to help each other to get up to speed. And when we test together, it's funny, because we are all the time together. So it's going to be this weekend, I believe that it's going to be more or less like in the testing, but for racing for a prize. So it's going to be different.
Now, in the World Championship, you use an R1. And this race is an R6. Have you spent a lot of time with R6?
Not really, no. Okay, this is a good question, because I basically all my career was riding with 1000cc bikes. Mm-hmm. And I don't have much experience in the 600. I did just at the very beginning of my career, 2 years in the European Stock 600 Championship. And then from that moment, and it was 15 years ago, maybe more, it was 17 years ago, and then never on a 600 again. But, you know, most of these riders competing here also are racing in the Superbike, Moto America Superbike, or the 600 is not their bike, but I know it's going to be a little bit more difficult for me. We just did 1 day of testing. But I think the opportunity is great, and I will try to be fast as possible in the beginning.
Now, this is a little insight for you guys. So I was talking to Mandy Keynes, who is the team manager for the team. By the way, his name is, let me see, it's his first name is Manfred. He was named after Manfred Mann and Manfred Mann's Earth Band, who sang Blinded by the Light back in the 70s. So I found out what's Mandy's real name. So you guys, he can sing that song for you if you ever meet him. Anyway, but I digress. All right, so I spoke to Mandy, and not just about Manfred Mann, but anyway, we talked about this R6, and you would think, okay, these guys are endurance world championships. They've got pit stops down. They know what they're doing. They've got all the best equipment, quick change equipment. Well, not really with an R6. They're not completely, you can't take your R1 stuff and put it on the R6. So do you guys have what you need to do pit stops fast?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I didn't question too much before coming here, but I know that the guys won't have the same will of winning as I have all the time. I know. We know that in EWC, we know 110% what is going on there. It's our championship. They have so much experience. Here, everything is different. Everything is new. And we have to be humble because the top riders, the top team here are incredibly fast and they are at the world championship level. So we come here humble. But I hope we have everything. But I am also 100% sure we don't have all the full package and we still have to learn a lot.
Right.
I think this, I believe and I hope this is a more long-term project. This year is to learn, understand, collect data, hopefully with a quite good result. But it would be a dream for me to come back in the future, in maybe next year again, and with more data, more information, more experience for myself as well. The first thing is myself and also the team and the tires as well, and to do a step forward. But I don't believe we arrive in just one few sessions we are competing for the victory.
Yeah, and so you have three riders on this team. I assume it's one pit spot, so you guys can't come in at the same time. Do you have to talk about, or have you talked about, who comes in first, second, and third, and how that's all going to be timed out?
Yeah, I'm a very good boxer, so...
So he's going first.
No, I'm... We have actually two crews.
Okay.
So that are training for pit stop. So two will stop together and one will be alone. We didn't decide yet. We didn't do any strategy like we do in EWC. We always do the strategy on Friday night after the qualifying sessions, and we discuss, we sit together all the team, and then we define the best strategy, what we believe is the best strategy. This has always worked for us, based also on how the weekend went, how the qualifying went, how the free practice went and everything, and then we decide. So at the moment I don't know how we will do, but for sure we have two crews. So I believe that then you will tell me, but I think if you come together with somebody else, it's a bit better because also the outlap you will have already a slipstream. And,
So that's pretty cool, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be good to have that. Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought of that. So you guys have done, okay, let's just as an example, when you race at Le Mans, you do it every year. You, if you're lucky and you continue like you are and you're successful, do you know how many pit stops you're going to do in that race? Like, is it the same number every year?
Almost, but it's very difficult on 24 hours to count the exact number of pit stops because we have of course a plan. We know that it's going to be 28 pit stops and everything. We will stop at this time, perfect. But then everything can change. The weather first. If it starts to rain, we slow down for sure. So we will have less pit stops. If there is many safety car during the race as well, because the safety car we will use 30% of the fuel that we use on a fast lap.
Okay.
So is this always? We always have a plan. And we never
goes to plan.
No, never.
Somebody crashes the bike.
Yes. Or you have a crash, or you have a technical problem, or safety car, or rainy, or so many things can go on in 24 hours. It's never ending. And what I learned in a few years now, that until the checkered flag, you really can't be sure. Even if you are 10 laps in front of the others, you really need to cross and to see this checkered flag because you never know.
Yeah.
And it's so tough for the bikes to never stop for 24 hours.
Yeah,
at
crazy.
Full gas.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's amazing. So for this, I think it can be one pit stop. It could be two. It could even be three. So do you guys? I mean, you don't have to tell us if you don't want to. But do you guys know how many you're going to plan for having? Okay.
No, because it's not that I don't want to tell you. It's because we don't know. We have to understand still the fuel consumption.
Yes.
We have to do some calculation, tires, and this is all a big question mark. My teammates already came here in October, so they collect some data, but the bike was not our yard bike. It was a bike that they borrowed here, so it was a different engine, a different fuel tank, so it's we cannot use this data.
Okay.
So we will have to, luckily we are three bikes, three riders. Usually the fuel consumption is pretty similar to between us three. And we will try tomorrow to understand as much as we can and to understand how many laps we can do, how long last the tires, fuel consumption, and then we will do the strategy.
Okay.
So going from the 1,000 to the 600 is better than the other way around though, right?
Yeah, I will tell you when I will come back to the 1,000cc for Le Mans.
You'll be asking for 600.
Yes. Yeah. Actually, next week I will be testing the superbike after quite a long time in Barcelona with all the superbike riders. So I have already a bit of pressure.
Wow. They should be warmed up.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But to be honest, was as I told you before, it was a long time that I was not riding a 600. But when we tested in Spain last month, I enjoyed so much. The R6 is so much fun.
Little toy, feels like
yes,
a toy.
Yeah, and the engine actually has a good power and is more light, more corner speed. Of course, the lap time is lower, but you have the feeling you're pushing so much. And is a nice feeling, I really enjoyed it. And of course, the R1 is more physical, is really wheeling a lot. You have to really fight with the bike, especially out of the slow corners. Is a really nice bike to ride, especially the WC bike, but is more tough, no? It's 1,000cc, more power, heavier. But also with the R6, also with no experience, it was so much fun. Mm,
yeah. So I asked Peter Hickman this because, you know, obviously he's been in the Isle of Man, and I wondered how iconic is the Daytona 200 to them being from another country, and he said it's big. For you, I mean, Giacomo Agostini won it in 1974, so an Italian's done it before. Does that resonate with you? Do you think, you know, you've heard of the Daytona 200, you said you wanted to do it, so it really does mean something to you?
It's huge. Okay. I mean, Daytona is already, when you say the name, is something big. And I am, for me, it's so special to be here, to be able to race here. There's some iconic races, I think, let's say the Suzuka 8 Hours, Le Mans 24 Hours. This is Daytona. You have, for Italians, for example, Mugello MotoGP is the race, you know. And Daytona is one of them. And for me, this Daytona 200 is something so special that is unique in the world. And is, I think, every rider dreams to come here. And who doesn't is not a rider.
Right. It's been probably last time I met you the first time at Laguna Seca when you were racing World Superbike. But then, speaking of iconic racetracks in Laguna Seca, a couple of years ago you had a chance to race as a replacement for Matthew Skoltz when he'd gotten hurt. You raced for Westby Racing on that bike. Tell us about that experience and being at Laguna again.
Yeah, this has been amazing because I really enjoyed it with the Westby team and with Chuck and all the crew. Was amazing, and Laguna is one of my favorite tracks in the world. So always when I get the opportunity to race in the US, I'm always up to it. And the race has been really nice. We had was the COVID period, so we had the 3 races in a weekend, I remember.
Yes, that's right, yeah, it was.
This was actually some help because I was able to improve during the weekend. I didn't have much experience with the Dunlop tires, so it took me a while to understand them and to ride with them. But it's been a great experience for me and a great weekend. I am like P5 or P6, I don't remember exactly, but not so far from the guys in front. So it's been a nice experience. Yeah.
So you have two jobs. I mean, you race for World Endurance, and you also test for Yamaha, and you also are coach for Yamaha's activity in World Superbike.
Makes three.
Job. Yeah, that's three.
Three.
I'm not very good at math.
No, this is important when I send invoices. You know, if I
that's
forget
why you
one,
know.
That is a problem.
Yeah, that's a big problem. So. I think you probably enjoy the racing more than anything, but is the coaching also rewarding when you can work with, and you work with really high level riders?
Well, yes, is to be honest, it's really amazing. Is you have to switch completely the mentality because when you're a racer, you want to beat the others, you know? And from one weekend to another, you go from wanting to beat everybody else to want to help them. And so it's a complete different mindset, but it's really, really rewarding, really nice. And also I learned a lot from them because when you have the opportunity to work with riders like Jonathan Rea or Toprak as well, we won the World Superbike Championship together, Locatelli, there are so many good riders, and you can learn a lot from them as well to see how they work during the race weekend. And I can give my advice. I do video analysis, I do data analysis. So I know the bike very well, so they respect me as well because they know that when they try a new swing arm, they try a new triple clamp, is something that I tried before. And if they like, they know that I did a good job as well. So it's a complete job. And say it's three jobs, but they are all linked, let's say. And for me, it's great to work with them. I learn a lot. They are happy with me, and this is the most important thing. And but the approach is different for sure. But you know, the racing career is not something that lasts forever, so it's also good to think about the future and to see with Yamaha what we can do for in the future.
Is it difficult to try to tell some of these riders, like, you know, maybe try this or this is different? I mean, you're telling the, you know, some of the world's best riders, like, what to do.
Yeah, but you know what? It's funny because when you work with lower level riders, it's much more difficult to tell them something. When you work with guys like them, that even Johnny, that is a six-time world champion, I tell them, do this, and it does immediately in the next session. And wow. this is something amazing, and they are more keen to adapt, to change their style, and to do something different if they know that this will provide them a better result.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is the open mind of a champion, because when I see some, in the past I worked from some national championship guys, and for them it was much more difficult to change their riding style, because they were just going natural, as the best that they could, but they had probably no idea what they were doing at 100%. A champion knows exactly what is going on the bike, and he knows that if he's losing in that sector, in that corner, and you have the tool to see on a video that somebody else is doing it differently and is faster, they do immediately, because they want to win and they want to be the fastest.
So this guy is no longer racing for Yamaha anymore, but you worked with Garrett Gerloff. I want to mention him just because, obviously, he raced in our series. He's American. He's personally one of my favorite riders of all time. I just love the kid. So, yeah. But he had a tough time with Yamaha. So did you talk to him about kind of what's up here as well as rider tech? I mean, what did you talk to him about?
Well, Garrett is one of my favorite rider too, one of my favorite person, because actually he stayed in my house as well. He's a great rider and great kid, as you said, and it's been a pleasure to work with him as well. Of course, now we took a different path, but let's say hasn't been bad with Yamaha, because it was extremely fast, and I can tell you that this guy really has a huge, huge talent. And when I see the data, also compared to Toprak and to other guys that at the end achieved more than him in Superbike, I could say that he sometimes was even faster and really performing well. Of course, he had some bad luck in some occasions, like a few accident, crash with other riders, and you know, he lost a bit his confidence.
Yes.
So I think at some point was very good for him, and also I had a chat with him, and I say, if you have this opportunity, take it, because you need to do a reset. And this is what he needed, to find again the smile, to change crew, change people, change bike, change everything, just in order to do a reset on his mind and start all over again. Because talent is not missing, and for sure he's one of the top riders in the world, and he can win races. And he could have won races with Yamaha as well.
You were with him when you were in the pit box when he rode Rossi's MotoGP bike, right? I mean, you were right there,
yes,
weren't you?
Yes.
You were behind there, and he did okay.
Yes.
I mean,
really,
well,
this was impressive. Yeah.
Was that pretty? Were you kind of surprised too? Did that make you feel good?
Yeah, it was surprising too.
Okay.
Yeah, we actually, it's been really nice, because we were already working together. I was his coach with Toprak and the others, and he asked me to come with him to Valencia for this race for MotoGP. And so we were just me and you in this new adventure, me and him with this new adventure, and it was really exciting, really, really, let's say, strange also, because we were outsider, no? And when he rode the bike, everybody was absolutely impressed how fast he was in the beginning, because I did already the swap from Superbike to GP and back, and it's not easy. The tires are different, the chassis is completely different, engine, brakes, gearbox, everything is completely different. And it's not easy to jump on a bike and go fast immediately. And he did it, and he did pretty well. So I think this shows his talent as well.
I'm just going to say you've raced for a while, okay?
You can say I'm old.
Well, where are you in your career? I mean, are you towards the end of it? Are you got a lot more to go? What are you going to do after this? I'm sure you're going to be in the paddock because of what you're doing now. What does the future hold for Nick Canepa?
Well, I am. I don't plan to race long, so I'm planning to end pretty soon. And even if I feel like I'm fit and fast, and we still can win races in UWC, I'm the world champion at the moment, but I don't want to. I'm 35 years old now, And I don't want to, like, I'm not the guy that want to race forever or, let's say, want to see that I'm not slow, but keep trying to keep having a ride and not having the result or entering this loop of my career, because this is not what I want. And I think with Yama as a coach, test rider, racing advisor as well, we're doing pretty well. And they are giving me every year, every season, more jobs to do, more importance, right, more stuff to do. And it's actually 8 years now that I'm with Yama. It's like a family for me. And so it's... I picture myself to work in Yama in the future and not to race for many years. Even if I'm sure I'm going to miss riding, I'm sure I'm going to miss racing, I'm sure I'm going to miss winning especially, but you have to understand when it's the right moment, I think, to quit and to start a new, to turn the page of the book and to see something different, because I don't want to keep going, and to see the moment where the result will not be coming.
So they're grooming you to replace Lynn Jarvis then, isn't that correct? What I think I understand that. They need somebody. I
mean, this is a long shot, but...
No, he's a good guy. I wouldn't say that otherwise. Hey, I should ask this earlier, but I want to ask you, when you guys are doing endurance racing, do you provide any input with regard to the development of the bike to the World Superbike team at all with what you do?
Sometimes yes. Actually, the electronic that they are using, that they are the software and the electronics that they are using now, is something that we first developed in EWC, and then when was ready, we gave to the Superbike. So sometimes there is this connection between the teams. Of course, it doesn't work for everything because, as you know, Superbike is Pirelli. In EWC, we have Bridgestone. So for some kind of stuff, like for a swing arm, of course, we cannot use the same stuff because Pirelli needs a different swing arm than Bridgestone. So it's we cannot do the complete development for Superbike, but we do some stuff, yeah. And what we cannot do in AWC, I do with the test team in Superbike, like I will do next week in Barcelona.
And obviously, you guys are on Bridgestone for the Daytona 200 because you are on Bridgestone in EWC and you're used to it. I can't fit this in my head with you guys. You got three brands of tires, and there's a lot more out there. I mean, they're round black things to me. I mean, what is the deal? Pirelli, Dunlop, Bridgestone, are they significantly different between each other?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
I've been a couple of years ago, I remember, I was racing in EWC with Bridgestone, MotoE with Michelin, testing the Superbike with Pirelli, and doing Italian Championship on Dunlops.
Wow.
So okay. I think I'm one of the most experienced guys about tires ever.
Yeah.
And there is obviously big difference between each other. And in some track is bigger, some track is smaller, the difference. But you need to change the setting for sure. You cannot use two different brand of tire and use the thing that you plug in the tire and just a black thing and you go same fast. So you need to adapt and to change. And Bridgestone for me is great. We for example, in Suzuka, if you don't have a Bridgestone, you can't win the race. It's impossible. You cannot be in the top five. You cannot be in the top 10 in the qualifying. You're out. Mm-hmm. And in some tracks, it's really like that. And what we have in EWC is really a good package with Bridgestone. And of course, we don't have a lot of experience here in Daytona, so we don't know with this kind of asphalt how they're going to perform. We will be racing with the standard and on sale Bridgestone, so nothing prototype, nothing special.
Wow.
So this is something also good challenge for Bridgestone, but
yes,
they believe and we believe a lot in the tires, in the product, and so we think that we can perform well. But this, of course, as I said before, is a year to collect data and to understand. And I believe we're going to perform well, but for sure there is always margin of improvement.
Yeah, it's good. So you're testing these tires for the future. You say you're getting towards the end of your career, but you want to come back and race some more Daytona 200s then.
Yeah, I've seen something that I want to do in my career before I quit.
Yeah.
The first one is the podium in the Suzuka 8 hours, because we missed it the last 2 years. We had some bad luck, this we can say. And this is such an iconic race, and I want to finish on the podium. So I'm sorry for Yama if they have different plans for me, but I'm not going to quit before being on the podium there. And it would be amazing to come back here as well. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's been great having you on, Nick. It's been great to see you come in this country and race with us. And we know you're present really well. I'm so glad that the entire team is involved in this. It's a three-rider team. It's going to be cool to see what you guys can do, because there is a little teamwork you guys can work on when you're out there. So the draft is very important.
Yeah, that's the plan. We will try to help each other at the beginning. At the beginning, they will have to help me because I wasn't doing the test, so I hope they will be kind with me and not disappear after two corners.
They better be. Yeah. Thanks for joining us, and good luck in the 200.